Right. This is Matt from Three Count Thursday. As we are doing during this time of quarantine, we are doing one weekly interview. And this week we are thrilled to be joined by Aaliyah Morales. Thanks for taking the time. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. How are you today?
I'm doing well, doing as well as can be expected. So before we get into the actual questions, how are things out your way? Is everything staying safe? Are you nestled in with your 12 cases of water and frozen food at this point?
Here in my neck of the woods, like, things are actually really terrifying at this point. But, you know, I'm keeping my faith. We actually, in my hometown, there's about maybe 30 cases of COVID. But overall, you know, everyone in my house, we're all social distancing, and literally nobody's left the house. So, overall, safe.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. Yeah, I think it's slowly starting to pop up where we are. So, you know, crazy times. Hope everyone's staying safe. But in the meantime, with no wrestling really coming out that we can go see on the weekends, that's why we're kind of increasing the number of interviews we do. So, again, thanks for joining us. And main thing, when we launch into the interviews here, we always have our first question, which is one of our, like, two or three cliche wrestling podcast questions. But it's kind of just some background information. So at what age did you kind of start watching wrestling or truly get invested as a fan of wrestling?
So I would definitely say that was around 10 years old. I recognize, like, I always had, like, this attraction towards wrestling, but I just wasn't allowed to watch it, because, it's really complicated. You know what, I'll get into it, because, why this bullshit and beat around the bush? So, essentially, my mom never wanted me watching wrestling, because when she met my dad was actually training at the power plant. And granted, my dad, it was a very short-lived dream because he had a really awful motorcycle accident where he broke both his arms, his forearms. But, that's a story for a different time. But so essentially, you know, like, the relationship went sour. And then my mom was like, oh, hell no. Like, this girl is not going to get into this, you know. Because, you know, obviously, rightfully so, she's like, oh, my God, no, that reminds me of her father. So I was about 10 years old. It was like 2008, around there. That's when I started watching it. What really, really, really got me into wrestling was WrestleMania 23, though. I believe the theme was When I Grow Up, and everyone thought it was so cliche because I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to go out, and that's what I'm going to do. And everyone's like, you can't do that. That's unrealistic. But here I am.
Right. Throw it in all of their faces. So was there a specific wrestler then back then that you kind of latched onto as like, this is who I want to be, who I look up to, or like a favorite wrestler that drew you in?
Oh, definitely Beth Phoenix. Beth Phoenix and Melina they're essentially the main reason why I'm even doing this. I would only tune into wrestling just to watch them. I mean, yeah, I loved Edge, and I loved Jeff Hardy, and, you know, Randy Orton. But those two women, they did it for me.
And, I mean, two of, like, the nicest people in wrestling, too. I don't know if you've gotten to meet them yet, but both just, like, so willing to talk to anyone that comes up to them about wrestling. It's just incredible, especially, like, Melina comes around Maryland a lot, so I've gotten to see her more than Beth Phoenix, I think, was just the one time, but always just someone that's willing to talk wrestling and, like, embrace her fans and pass that passion along to them.
Oh, see, that's so kind. Yeah, no, I spoke about this before on another podcast where she's literally just, like, she's one person that I will probably not lose it if I see what the day that I get to see her, but I have to, like, just thank her because I don't think it's so crazy because, like, as wrestlers, like, we think, like, oh, yeah, we're just storytelling. But reality is, like, we're doing so much more than that. Like, we're inspiring, like, you know, it's like Melina and Beth Phoenix, they inspired a little girl that's now a woman, like, to do the things that they're doing because they made me realize that it's possible and that it wasn't, like, you know, unattainable how people, like, normally say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so like you said, you watch WrestleMania 23, you say, I'm doing this, there's the doubters, but then what were the next steps that you took? Like, how did you go about choosing a trainer or getting involved in that kind of process? Was it a ton of research, or was it just kind of the closest school out of necessity for you?
It was a ton of research. I mean, to be honest with you, I really forgot about it. Not that I forgot about it, but it was, like, kind of just, like, on the back of my mind. And, like, I started letting, like, the naysayers, like, get to me. I was in a relationship in high school, and, that ex-boyfriend, that you can't even consider an ex-boyfriend because it's high school. But he just kept saying, like, oh, you can't do it. That's weird. Why don't you just become a nurse, make some real money, stop being a loser. And that's when I started getting pissed. And I'm like, who the fuck are you? I'm sorry. I swear a lot. I'm sorry.
You are more than welcome to.
Thank you, because I'm holding back so much. Like, I have such a sailor's mouth. It's awful. So I'm like, who are you? Like, who do you think you are? You can't tell me what I can and cannot do. So I said, you know what? This was my junior going into senior. I said, I'm just gonna pay to get homeschooled because I want to like graduate a couple months earlier. And I graduated actually, I want to say it was like 8 months earlier than expected. I saved all my money. I packed my bags. I booked the flight because I was going air quotes on vacation to Florida. I found Jay Lethal School. And then, I went to go sign up, and then that's when, like, it was, like, dude, I swear to God, like, sometimes my life is, like, a fucking soap opera. I was living with my dad, and technically pretty much by myself because he was never home. But it was, like, really bad because, like, my stepmom, she was battling with alcoholism at the time. And I was just like, you know what, like, I'm 17 years old. This is too much. As much as I want to wrestle, I don't think I can live in a household with, where this is happening. So I ran away. I packed my bags. I ran away to Lakeland, Florida with a very nice couple that they're not strangers. They weren't strangers, but they were strangers to me because I had never met them. They were pretty much family friends. So I left with them. I lived with them for 2 months and I moved back home. And I'm like, okay, well, what the fuck? I'm at ground zero now. What am I going to do? So I met this local worker in my area. His name is Bobby Ocean, and he was pretty much like my guidance, like, the whole time. And he was like, hey, your dream is not over. You can either go here or you can go somewhere closer to you. That's Kevin Landry. That's Holyoke. And I'm like, oh, a wrestling school in Holyoke. What the fuck? Because, like, where I'm from, like, Holyoke is, like, it's a city that, like, no one really pays much attention to. And I'm like, how come I never found this place when I was, like, researching when I was in high school? But, so I started going there, and, I was training, and then I had to stop for a little bit because I was in school, and I also had an accident that almost killed me, a car accident. And then I ended up making my debut August 10th of last year.
All right, so the whole, like, path to get there, like, when you had that first match, like, was it just that much more satisfying knowing, like, everything that you went through up to this point, like, to finally realize this dream, this ambition that you had had since, like, age 10, pretty much?
Yeah, it was extremely satisfying. I've definitely have gone through a lot of things that, and this is why, like, I'm a huge advocate for mental health with workers, because I went through a lot of bullshit just because, like, for example, people don't understand how bad anxiety is. And I never knew that I had clinical anxiety undiagnosed because I'm Caribbean. So, in my culture, it's a slap to the face and you're fine, So that's all I went through with, like, growing up. And there was a lot of things that, like, I couldn't really quite process. Like, it was really hard for me to be around people. I'd let people step all over me, people walk all over me, people take advantage of me. And it was really fucking hard. And there were times where I just wanted to fucking walk away and never look back. But then that's when I said, if I walk away now, with all this time that I've put into this, just because people have treated me like shit and have taken advantage of me, I'm letting them win. And that's one thing that I'm not going to fucking do that. So that's why I felt so satisfying,
So then looking back at that first match now where you are, like, how much do you really remember of it? Is it something that you really got the chance to, like, soak it all in, or did it just go by so quick just because nerves kind of took over?
Honestly, I remember, it's crazy because I do remember every single detail from that day so vividly, and that's because it meant so much to me. It was like, it was crazy. You know, my friend Joey, he's like one of my closest friends. He does managing in our local area. He's very talented, but he, you know, he did me the favor of driving me there, just so I can just relax. And so on and so forth. It was really crazy. I got to the venue and I was like, "What the fuck?" I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I'm really having my first match. It was just completely mind blowing for me because I thought the day would never come. You know, especially when you go through all the things when you have gone through all the things that I had went through. It felt like either not worth it or just like, oh my god, this is never gonna fucking happen.
Mm-hmm. So then. Just some more questions then about the first match. Aside from your friend that took you, like, was there anyone else there that you had for support? Like, do you remember how the crowd reacted to you coming out that first time?
So someone that I did have there for support was someone that I'm so forever thankful that this person took me under their wing. It was a Flying Fred Curry. He helped train me, and I have a lot of his guidance. I'm very lucky till this day that I can go to him and call him, you know, a man that has, like, you know, the experience that he has. So he was there for me, and he pretty much, like, I was very nervous before I went out, and, you know, he told me, he's like, you know, you got this, kiddo, and if you don't, it's okay. Because guess what? Every match is just live bullets. And you just need to acquire as many live bullets as you possibly can. And, now that I think about it, it really was fast. But reality of it was that it was about 8 minutes long, but it felt like 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm. And then did you get some, like, feedback from him afterwards? Like, what did he give you that you did well in that first one?
So my head trainer, my head trainer, Kevin Landry drove all the way to Randolph, Mass. Just to see me have my first match. Kevin, this is how Kevin is. You know, Fred said, you did good, kid. Like, this, it's not perfect because it's your first match, but you did much better than what I thought. And I'm so proud of you. Kevin, he just looked at me, he smiled, and he said, we'll talk Monday. So I knew that he had a lot of feedback to give me, and it made me, like, almost, like, piss my pants because I respect Kevin Landry so much. There's, like, Kevin can talk to me, and I won't even look at him in the face because I'm just, like, that's how much respect I have for him. So he just told me, he gave me the pointers of things that I did wrong, but he said, I'm glad that you did this well with your first match. He said, now we just need to keep having more matches, and then we'll just keep dissecting them and moving on.
Absolutely, and that's kind of a good segue for our next cliche wrestling question, but when you're going through, like, your training and getting more matches, is there a piece of advice that you got that kind of stands out as, like, that has been the most impactful for you to this point?
You're saying, like, a piece of advice that, like, somebody's given to me, right? That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So that would definitely be, like, stay out of the mix and, like, don't give a shit about what people have to say to you. And there's one, and that's, again, that's where the anxiety and why I say, like, I advocate, like, tremendously online about, like, wrestlers taking care of their mental health. People will talk so much shit in wrestling. You can be the best athlete. You can be so beautiful. You can have the best body, the best physique in the business. And somebody or some clique will always find something to fucking say about you. And honestly, my advice to people is the same thing. Don't give a shit about what people have to say about you. Because at the end of the day, like me, I remember, like, every single thing that I did, literally I could just be standing there waiting for it to be my turn to do something during training when I was first, like, you know, when I was fresh and new, and it was always some motherfucker talking shit. And, you know, where I'm from Springfield, so I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah, I am very proper when I need to be. You know, I have I'm a state employee outside of wrestling. You know, you get the gist of shit. But I'm from Springfield. With that being said, is that, like, you don't fuck with me. don't, cause, and it's not that you're supposed to be scared of me, but it's like I'm an asshole for a reason. People from Massachusetts are called assholes for a reason. So it's
right.
Like, anyway, yeah, you know, like, asshole New Englanders, like, we don't like it when people fuck with us. And that's just, oh my God, like, yeah, it sets me on fire. It sets me on fire even talking about it. Because it makes me mad. Because I just, you know, like, that's why I tell people, even new kids at the school, I tell them, I'm like, I beg of you, please do not care about what people have to say about you, because if you do care, you're going to lose your shit, and it would hurt me to see somebody like you or go through the shit that I've gone through.
Yeah, and it really is awesome to kind of hear you talk about being an advocate for this. I know we had Tara Calloway on our show probably about a year ago, and she was just getting started with the whole Dropkick Depression initiative that she took on. So just to hear more people in the industry really embracing, you know, that mental health is so important for all wrestlers, because it's not something that was talked about so easily for the longest time. And unfortunately, we have a lot of sad stories because of that. So I'm truly appreciative of you doing that. You know, even though this is the first time hearing about it, it's great to hear it, honestly.
Yeah, no, I do talk about it a lot on Instagram. Like, even I took a break from wrestling in November of last year, and I made it, you know, I was very public about it. I said, you know what, I need to step away, not forever, but because I'm not okay. And with me not being okay, that means that I'm not going to be 100% to work with anybody. And I said, I'm like, if my mental health is here, there, and like all the way in fucking Singapore, and not here in Massachusetts, or whatever ring that I'm in, somebody's going to get hurt, either the person I'm working with or me. And because I have, you know, my mind was all over the place, I said, you know what, I need a reset, and this is okay. And that's why I was very public about it, because I know, like, I've talked to, like, other good brothers and, like, good sisters where they talk about their mental health and, like, how they feel, and they're just so afraid to be honest about it. And that makes me sick to my stomach, because we can't, there's, you know, like, for, you know, for crying out loud, there's, like, you know, like, anyways, like, there's so much shit that, like, could have been avoided. And I've even had, like, conversations with people, like, oh my God, who am I thinking about, like, conversations and stories that I've heard about, like, Gangrel and, like, close friends to him, and just, like, things that, like, I've heard that, like, he's experienced that, like, I don't know exactly to the T, but I remember I heard about these stories when I was, like, much younger, when I first started training, and I'm like, wow, like, why didn't somebody just, like, talk about, like, how they felt? Maybe that could have been avoided. But, like, of course, I'm using him as an example because, like, I've spoken to him before, like, in the past, and, like, he's been very kind. But I'm saying, like, just, like, from, like, the close family stories that, like, I've heard from, like, people that are good friends with him. Nothing bad, necessarily. Just, like, things that it just makes you think, like, wow, like, why didn't somebody just talk about this? And maybe this would have ended differently.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And and just, like, even fucking, oh, my God. I'm trying to preserve myself and not swear, but that's just who I am, even though you said it was okay. But it's, like, I see it all the fucking time where I can tell, like, I'm sorry, and, like, I hate playing, like, good psychologist because, like, that's not even my major. But it's, like, you can just tell when people are off, and I see it all the time in locker rooms. And then people, I don't know what it is about my aura, but it's so welcoming. And people will just come up to me, and they'll start talking to me about what you know, their problems. And this happened to me even in locker rooms. And I'm just like, oh, my God, I'll talk to them or whatever. And, of course, I'll never disclose, like, who I've had conversations with and stuff like that, because that's totally confidential. But,
right.
That's why, like, when I took time off and then, like, how people were just, like, it was unbelievable to me. Like, people that in wrestling that I never even knew, like, knew that I existed or acknowledged me, they would write to me and tell me, hey, like, you know, I'm proud of you. It takes a lot of guts to, like, walk away from something that, you know, just because, like, you know, because of your mental health, like, you are important, and, like, this will be here forever. So, you know, I think that that was the right step in the right direction for me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you've watched it at all or not, but there is a series out called Dark Side of the Ring, where they're looking back at a lot of, like, terrible moments in wrestling history. And like you said, it's kind of noticeable now when you look back of, like, wow, this probably could have been avoided. So again, it's great that you see that and you're taking the steps that you can to help with that.
Oh yeah, certainly. And you know, I hate to get dark, and I hate to get dark, but this is just the reality of things, and this is why I'm so vocal about it. I think that if I didn't take that time off in November for myself and just, you know, shut that door, shut that pro wrestling world door, and it was just all about Aaliyah, if I didn't shut that door and if I didn't, like, choose myself at that time, I probably would have done something to harm myself. And that's the reality of things. And that's the importance of, like, speaking about these things and advocating for these things, letting people know that it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially someone like you who went through so much to get to where you are, still having the wherewithal to say, I wanted to do this, but I need to step away. Like, putting that dream on pause to make yourself better just speaks volumes for the importance of what you did.
Absolutely.
All right, so kind of to get back into, like, where you are, you know, trying to make this comeback now, things are kind of on hold, but when you're making your return, is there a style of match that you've long wanted to do that you haven't been able to that's kind of on your list coming up at this point?
My dream match is to just, it's not even a style of match. I just want to have a match where I can tear the house down with somebody and we can be ourselves the entire time. Like, that's literally all I want. You know, if I could throw in my technical things, beautiful. But I really just want to have a fun match where we're telling a damn good story from start, middle to finish, and we're being ourselves the entire time and enjoying it thoroughly.
Okay. And to kind of go along with the storytelling, this is something that I've asked a few people that are kind of in an area that is saturated with wrestling, like Massachusetts is, like PA is for us, but the East Coast in general just has a ton of wrestling promotions. And, you know, for fans, that's great. You know, you can go out any weekend, not right now, but typically any weekend and see a wrestling show. But for you as a wrestler, do you see that the number of promotions being around is a good thing just because there's so many opportunities? Or do you sometimes wish that there were fewer so you could create those stories, build storylines within those companies? Because the indie wrestling world, that's going to change month to month.
I would say I definitely have mixed feelings about it. I definitely do agree with, like, hey, the more promotions, the better. Everybody gets to work. It's like Oprah, like, you know, matches for everybody, you know? But
right.
At the same time, it's like, yes, it's good, but also it's like, oh my God, there's another promotion. Here it is. What are they doing to stand out from the next? You know, so it's a good and bad thing. I don't really like getting into it because, like, that's my opinion is just that, like, it's good and it's like it's 50-50. It's like it's not good, but it's not bad, and it's just like it's kind of like when you see oh my God, what is it? What sign is it that has, like, the scales? Is it Libra? I'm a Libra. I should know this. It's like that. It's like a balance of things. Yeah.
Okay, and yeah, that's fair. I mean, I wouldn't expect you to come out and start bashing promotions, obviously limiting opportunities moving forward. But I will say, you know, as someone that has been a part of companies, like as a paid worker, some of them haven't been the best, and those ones aren't around anymore for that reason. So, you know, I think over the test of time, the promotions that are just there to be promotions kind of weed themselves out. And then the ones that, you know, have the ability to build on storylines, those stay around for a while. And it's because those workers just want to keep coming back, too.
Exactly. Oh, it's very true.
All right. So since you've been involved in the wrestling business, is anything kind of stood out to you as, like, your favorite part of being in the wrestling business, whether that's kind of, like, practicing and finessing these moves, creating who you were going to be as a wrestler, maybe hands in designing your ring gear, any kind of, like, building a relationship with other wrestlers to tell that story in the ring, but does anything kind of stand out as, like, this is my favorite part of this industry?
Definitely my favorite part is just seeing, like, oh, my God. All right, so it's, like, I have, like, what is, like, top number one favorite part and then, like, top number two favorite part. So that first top number one favorite part is just, it's obvious, it's just seeing the fans, like, the fact that they care. And it's, like, I am literally here, you know, practically, whatever you want to call it, in a costume, bathing suit, whatever you want to call it now, these days. And you care about me. Pretending, you know, you care about me because, that's just mind-blowing to me. The fact, and that's why I treat everyone with such respect, because it's, like, you give a shit about me? Like, I'm just out here literally, like, hanging out, like, in a cosplay bathing suit. Because that's what you can, I don't know what other way to call, like, wrestling gear.
Right.
You know, but it's like, I'm just here in a cosplay bathing suit, and you care about me? That's fucking awesome. That's my favorite part. My second favorite part would definitely be on the road, like, with the guys and gals. Sometimes it can be frustrating because there's so many different personalities, but at the end of the day, like, we're all after the same, you know, whether we have the same end goal or not, we all have that one thing in common, and that is our love for, you know, the art of professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. And that was an awesome answer. Like, we don't get the fan side of why wrestlers love, I mean, obviously wrestlers all love their fans, but,
oh, yeah.
You know, That's rare that we get that answer when we ask that question. So I was glad to hear it. So before we jumped on the call and started recording, I did tell you that we had a lightning round of non-wrestling related questions. So we've kind of reached that point. And there are some that have like a wrestling hint to them. But
yeah.
We'll get started. So first one, Disney or DreamWorks?
Disney or DreamWorks? Oh, why you gotta put me in this position, man? Disney.
The hard-hitting questions right off the bat.
Yeah.
Sorry, I think you cut out there, did you?
Yeah, no, I think everything was going out. All right, so the last thing I heard was the hard-hitting questions.
Yeah, so we're Disney or DreamWorks?
That's so hard. This is, oh my God, why would you do this to me? At the end of the day, I'm going to have to go with the classic Disney.
All right, that's fair. All right, next one. Are you team Xbox, team PlayStation, or team Nintendo?
Team Nintendo.
All right, did you download or get Animal Crossing? Are you on that bandwagon at all?
No, I haven't, because honestly, like, I don't want to make this answer really long, but I'm honestly really, really busy. I'm actually launching a new business, and the process to launching that business is really, really, really taxing. So I've had time to do, well, I'm lying. I have time for it. I've been too busy on TikTok and doing business stuff, so.
That's fair. All right, next question. Does pineapple go on pizza?
Yes. Of course it does.
All right, team Marvel or team DC?
Team DC.
All right, so you have a six-hour trip to a wrestling show coming up. Who do you want riding shotgun with you? You can pick anyone.
Oh, shotgun. I would definitely want... Shotgun. Ooh, what I want. Oh my God, this is definitely hard hitting. And I can choose like from any era.
Any era, yep.
I would definitely want Gorgeous George.
Okay. I love that answer. I would want to sit in the back for that. All right. So do you have a favorite sport to watch outside of wrestling?
Nah, not at all. Wrestling's the closest thing I get to sports.
Okay, that's fair. Country that you would most want to wrestle in?
That would definitely be country. Hold on, I'm trying to think. You know what? I think that would definitely, well, actually, I'm going there this year, and that would definitely be the UK.
Okay. All right, favorite city. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, sorry. The way I function, it's like I'm scattered all over the place, so
not
please
a problem.
Go on.
All right. Favorite city that you have wrestled in the U.S.?
Someone asked me this on Instagram. I think it was yesterday. I have not wrestled in a favorite city quite yet, but I'm hoping that once this, pandemic ends, you know, I'm able to do that.
Okay. All right. Style of music that you most enjoy working out to?
That would definitely be hip hop. I love, the ghettoer, the better. I love Pop
okay.
Smoke. I love Roddy Ricch. All the above.
Okay, and then last one, the holiday approaching. Do you have a favorite and a least favorite kind of Easter candy?
My favorite would be, what are those little eggs? Robin eggs? Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
And then my least favorite is, I think it's everybody's least favorite, and I hope you don't like these because then I'll feel really bad, but it's peach.
Okay, that is a perfect answer for both of those. So.
Okay.
Yeah, Team 3 Count Thursday, I think overall we have all always put Peeps. Just, I think we bring it up anytime candy is selected. Even like when people say Halloween candy, we'll just say like the pumpkin Peeps, even though I don't think they make them anymore, just to like stress how bad Peeps are.
They're awful. I don't even know why they still make them. And if anybody like eats them, like they're probably like not human.
Agreed. All right, so at the start of the interview, I told you that we have about 3 cliche wrestling podcast questions. This is the last one, but we kind of put a twist on it. So we always ask the dream match question. I know you said, like, you just want to have a kick-ass match, but who would that opponent be? But then we also allow you to pick the style of match and the venue. So if you would like to wrestle Shawn Michaels in a ladder match at Wrigley Field, so be it. But what would your dream match be?
So my dream match would definitely be, that's hard. Just to clarify, the rules of this answer, it can literally be anybody, no matter how unrealistic it is.
Yep. Living or deceased. It's your dream match.
Okay. I would definitely would love to have a match with, a tag team match with myself, Bull Nakano versus the Jumping Bomb Angels. The arena, I don't care. I would do anything to have that tag team match.
All right, sounds awesome. We would certainly pay to see it. So that kind of wraps up the questions we have. But before we let you go, we like to give all of our guests some time. So if you have anything, I know everything's kind of on hold right now, but if you want to, plug your social media so that fans can stay tuned for any events that might be coming up, hopefully by May, June, we're back to that. But just the floor is kind of yours at this point.
Oh, yeah. So you can definitely follow me on Instagram. My first name with 2 H's and then my last name with 2 S's. So it's going to be just mouth vomit because my name is like 14 letters long. So it's obviously Aaliyah, A-A-L-I-Y-A-H, again, 2 H's. Last name, Morales, M-O-R-A-L-E-S with 2 S's. And I think I have a Twitter. I think my Twitter is, it's A-U-H-L-E-E. YAH, and you can pretty much follow me there. I do theoretically, fingers crossed, providing that we are able to, conquer this pandemic. My next show will be April 18th, and that is, I've been in McKee's Porch, and I think that's in Pennsylvania. I don't know. I need to check. I'm awful with geographical locations.
You said McKee's Port?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in Western PA.
Oh, see, thank God.
Yep, you had the right state.
Awesome, great. Yeah, so it should be there. And once I get the flyer, I'll post it, and fingers crossed.
All right, perfect. So we will make sure that we put that on the website as well. But again, thank you for joining us. Thanks for taking the time telling your story. It was an absolute pleasure to have you. We look forward to seeing what the career holds for you. McKeesport's not too far, so possibly we'll make that trip. But if not, again, thank you, and we look forward to seeing what you have to offer.
Thank you so much for having me. You guys have a great day.